Amen. Boy, that was beautiful. Thank you so very, very much for that beautiful song. Please take your Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter 2. While you're turning there, let me just take this opportunity to once again say my final thank you. And I just want you to know that really we are overwhelmed with your kindness. Really, we're overwhelmed with your labor of love. And so we just want to let you know one more time that we appreciate so much everything. Pastor Folger and the staff here and you as a church family, thank you for everything. Thank you for the meals, the lodging, all of the extra special things. We had a great day yesterday touring Cleveland and had all kinds of good times and good laughs and just had a good time in fellowship. We appreciate so much your kind words. Your words of encouragement are such a blessing. And the fact that you are communicating to us, that you're praying for us, boy, that just means so very much. And so it's really been just a joy. It's been a great opportunity to get to know these missionaries. I've really enjoyed getting to know them, and especially the veteran missionaries. Amen. What an example, what a testimony they are. To us, it really just it stirs your heart and it encourages you. And so thank you for your testimony and your love for the Lord. And so all of that just to say it's been a grand experience. It really has been. And, you know, Paul said to the church at Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And as we look back on this missions conference, I know I can speak on behalf of all the missionaries. We'll look back with fond memories. And so thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here. I also want to thank you for supporting our family. And then I said that on Wednesday, and I still just thank you so much for that. Some of you are here tonight. You're like, wait a second. I didn't know we supported them. Wait, do I have anything to say about that? Anyway, you support us. Thank you for that. And then on behalf of Dr. Ken Fielder in Worldview Ministries, we want to thank you for supporting one of our projects. If you pick up one of our booklets off our table, the very last project is the Myanmar project. And there's a language there in Myanmar, the Asang Kanso language, where we have a gentleman by the name of Rama who has spent many years translating the New Testament into that language. And the last report that I received is that he has a rough draft complete on 20 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And so that is fruit that abounds to your account. And so thank you so very much again on behalf of Dr. Ken Fielder and Worldview Ministries. We're so thankful that you would have a part in translating the Word of God to the unreached people groups of the world. And so we appreciate it so much. Again, hope you're praying about the Faith Promise card. And I know that much has been said about this. I feel like the Lord just laid this upon my heart just a few minutes ago to say something about this. And I want you to know that I was a pastor. Pastor Folger said this. I was a pastor for quite some time. And I know that in every church, you don't always get 100% participation in filling out the Faith Promise card. You have folks that say, well, you know, it's not in the Bible, and I can still give to missions without filling out a card. And I just want you to know that I taught this to my church family, and I hope it made an impact on some. I really feel like we ought to fill out a Faith Promise card simply because our pastor asks us to. Now, pastor didn't ask me to say that. That's just me. When I was a pastor, I just feel like that's part of being a part of a church. My pastor wants me to do something. I'm going to do it. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you with that. Certainly, you don't have to fill out a card to give to missions. Certainly, you can look all through the Bible. You're not going to see a Faith Promise card or at least a verse about it. But I just think that it's good to be part of the team. Amen. It's good to be, you know, on board. It's good to jump in with both feet. I talked about this the other night. You know, part of being surrendered to go to the uttermost parts of the world is being submissive. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to be mean or unkind, but I have a hard time. I think you would agree with me. Does the Lord really believe that I'm surrendered to go to the uttermost parts of the world if I can't even fill out a Faith Promise card, right? And so that's just my two cents. Pastor didn't ask me to say that. That was, and maybe I'll regret saying it. I don't know. But I just think, you know, it's important that the entire church get involved with Faith Promise Missions. My wife, Amy, grew up in Mansfield Baptist Temple, as was always already mentioned. And, you know, she, as a little girl, started doing Faith Promise with giving 25 cents a week to Faith Promise Missions. And so I just think everyone ought to get on board and participate. And so there you go. There's my two cents. All right. Mark chapter number 2, if you will. Mark chapter number 2. And look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway," or immediately, "many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins,' he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" We just want to look at this simple truth from this text tonight, bringing the world to Jesus, bringing the world to Jesus. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless as we look at this portion of Scripture tonight. Father, our hearts have been overwhelmed with blessing tonight as we have enjoyed the music, as we've enjoyed the fellowship. Father, we're so thankful for this church and this church family. We're thankful for this pastor and his family. We pray that you would just meet with us tonight. Give us wisdom and discernment. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, myself included, would be sensitive to your leading tonight in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we mean this with all of our heart. We teach and preach tonight in faith, meaning that we believe if we teach and preach your holy, powerful word without apology, that you can do something spiritual in our midst. And so we pray that you would do so. And as I teach and preach in faith tonight, I pray that we would listen in faith, and that you would do something eternal in our hearts and in our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Wednesday evening, I said that a missions conference can be a combination of many things. It can be a pep rally. It can be a revival meeting. It can be a business meeting, and I believe that. I believe that a missions conference should be a pep rally, encouraging the missionaries on as they go forth to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. We believe that a missions conference is a business meeting, as Pastor Folger mentioned this morning, discussing the greatest business in all the world, the business of taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And we believe that a missions conference should be a revival meeting as God's people get right with God and have their hearts molded and humbled and yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I believe that in this very text, we find a little bit of all three of those. In verse number 12, we see a pep rally as God is receiving the glory for the good things that have taken place. We see that there's a revival meeting as there's a precious soul that has come to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And then I want you to know that I believe there was a business meeting that took place long before verse number 3. 4 individuals got together and they had a business meeting. And that business meeting's topic was this: how are we going to get our friend, how are we going to get our loved one to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe that we can glean tonight some truths about how we can get the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at this topic, bringing the world to Jesus. I have just two points tonight, two thoughts really from this text. We see number one, the Great Commission, or a picture of missions. We also see not only the Great Commission, but we see a great commendation, or we see praise from the Master. So let's take a moment tonight and look at, first of all, the Great Commission, or a picture of missions. We see in this text three aspects of world evangelism. Three aspects of world evangelism. Number one, if you're taking notes, we see that these men, first of all, had compassion on a soul. They had compassion on a soul. Look with me again at verse number three. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And so we see that they have compassion on this lame individual that needed to get to Jesus. They have compassion on him. Now, if you study the word compassion, I believe that compassion demands three things. Number one, I believe that compassion demands an awareness of the situation. An awareness of the situation. In Matthew 9:36, which we heard taught and preached on this week, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was made aware. He opened his eyes. He had a sense of what was going on. You and I, in order to have compassion, all we have to do is open our eyes and take a look around, and we see a lost and dying world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be an awareness of the situation. That's one of the reasons why we have a missions conference. That's why we have video presentations and testimonies and statistics that are given, because we want each and every one of us to be aware of the great need of the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the world. I think, number one, compassion demands an awareness of the situation. Secondly, I believe compassion demands an attitude of sorrow or sympathy. An attitude of sorrow or sympathy. The word compassion means to suffer with. And so once we are aware of the situation, if we're truly a blood-bought child of God, then our hearts are touched. Our hearts are moved with sorrow and sympathy for the great need that is before us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you been moved by what you have observed and what you've seen in missions conference this year? We've heard statistics like almost half of the world has never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, not one time. Almost 4,000 people groups of the 7,000 people groups are without the Word of God in their language. We've heard the different missionaries stand and give the statistics of their particular field. I was personally moved by the analogy of China on Friday night. And the analogy was given about if the rapture took place in China, there are so few Christians that things would just go on as normal. That just moved me. And I'm sure it moved you as well. And so if we're going to have compassion, we need, number one, an awareness of the situation. Number two, an attitude of sorrow or sympathy. And then number three, and please don't miss number three, because this is crucial. This is vital. This is paramount. And number three, we need an action that supplies the need. Compassion is more than just an awareness of the situation. Compassion is more than just an attitude of sorrow and sympathy. Compassion is not compassion until we act on the need and we do something about it. And let me tell you something. If you just are aware of a situation and you have a little bit of sorrow in your heart, but you don't do anything about it, my friend, that is not compassion. That's just concern. And we need a day and age in which the church has more than just some concern. There's some compassion where there's an action to fill the need. There's the old story told, it's been told for years, about the little boy that lived in a poor part of the neighborhood in a major city years ago. His family gave him some money and said, go to the grocery store, get some groceries. And so he filled up a grocery bag of eggs and milk and all of this. And he was running home and he tripped and he dropped the grocery bag on the cement sidewalk. And it just exploded. Eggs everywhere. The glass milk jug just shattered everywhere. All the groceries just all over. And he fell. He skinned his knee. He was just sitting there crying in a mess. People stopped by and they wiped his tears and they cleaned up his wounds and they patted him on the back and said, hey, it's okay. But only one man cared enough to actually do something about it. And he gave him some money and said, hey, to the rest of everyone else, I care this much. How about you? How much do you care? Listen, compassion is not compassion until there is an action that meets the need. So as we consider these aspects of world evangelism, we see that these four men, number one, had compassion on a soul. Secondly, tonight, they had this, cooperation with other saints. Cooperation with other saints. Again, verse number three, they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, this particular portion of scripture reminds me of another portion of scripture. I'm going to ask you to turn there. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number one. Philippians chapter number one. And it goes along just extremely well with the song that we just had the privilege of hearing. Look at Philippians chapter one. And look with me at verse 27. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I believe that just simply means allow your walk to equal your talk. That our lives need to become the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or that whether I come and see you or else be absent, rather, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, what? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. When I hear the story in Mark chapter 2 and how these four individuals got together and they collaborated and they communicated and they said, hey, listen, let's get this one to Jesus. Only Jesus can help them. I can't help but think of Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, where the Bible says that we all are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. I am told that the word strive is an athletic term. And it has this idea. It has the idea of protecting and promoting. Can you think of a sport where you protect something all the while you promote something? There's quite a few sports. How about the sport of football? The whole idea of football is to protect the football all the while that you advance the ball to the goal. The Bible says that we've been given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to protect the gospel all the while we are promoting the gospel. By the way, you protect the purity of the gospel in the sanctuary. That's the preacher's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. That's the leader's job. That's your job in the home. We are to protect the purity of the gospel. But listen, we promote the power of the gospel in the streets. I dare say that in our day and age, there's a whole lot of protecting the purity of the message of the gospel, but of the meaning of the gospel, but there's not a whole lot of the promoting of the power and the message of the gospel. So let me say to you, Cleveland Baptist Church, for this missions conference, it's the fourth quarter. You've been given the ball. What are you going to do? God's given us an opportunity to do something great in this missions conference as we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Three aspects of world evangelism from these individuals. We see a compassion for soul. We see cooperation with other saints. And then also, we see, number three, a commitment that succeeds. Look with me at verse number four again. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherewith the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Here we find a commitment that succeeds. We make note tonight that these four individuals would not be distracted. They got the lame man to the address where Jesus was. Nor could they be discouraged. Nor would they be defeated. They had a commitment that succeeded. They would not be distracted. They would not be discouraged. They would not be defeated. They had a goal in mind. They knew of the utmost importance of this goal, a man's life, a man's spiritual life. And so they accomplished the task that was before them. To God be the glory. Let me encourage you, Cleveland Baptist Church, with this type of commitment in your lives. This type of commitment with our prayers for the missionaries, with our giving to the missionaries, our support, may we not be discouraged. May we not be distracted. May we not be defeated in the task and the goal that God would have us to accomplish. Years ago, there was a story told about a missionary couple in 1888 in a great church in Toronto, Canada. And they, with fear and trepidation, felt a call to go to the continent of Africa. And they said this to their church family. They said, listen, we feel this weight of dread in going. And we understand the risk that is involved. However, we make a promise to you that if you will pray and you will give and you will stand with us, if you will hold the ropes, so to speak, a term that was borrowed from William Carey, then we will go as your missionaries. It wasn't too long, a few years actually, that they returned from the field discouraged and defeated. And they decided to come straight home and go to their church that sent them out. It was a Wednesday night, and they came in after the service that had already started. As the story goes, they slipped in the back, and the preacher gave a Bible study, and then there was a prayer, and no prayer for the missionaries. No prayer for the church family that had been sent as their missionaries going to the uttermost parts of the world. And he stood afterwards, and he said, listen, I'm not giving all of the credit for our return on you, but I will say, as of tonight anyway, you have failed to hold the ropes for us. You have failed to mention us in your prayer. You prayed for everything else under the sun except for your missionaries that were sent out from your church. Oh, I know that's not the case at Cleveland Baptist Church, but may it ever be so. May it ever be that the Cleveland Baptist Church is a church that stands with their missionaries and continues to support their missionaries and continues to pray for their missionaries. We have a gentleman in our church, a couple in our church, Ward and Sarah Jane Harris. They were missionaries in Africa 30 years. Retired, they're in their 80s. They still attend the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. Something recently happened that broke Brother Ward's heart. First of all, he received the horrible, tragic news that his sister-in-law had been taken home to glory because of an automobile accident. As he and his son were in the vehicle driving out to Iowa to attend the funeral services for his sister-in-law, they passed the church that was his original sending church, only to see that that church no longer exists. You know, as heartbroken as he was about his sister-in-law, he knew that he would see his sister-in-law again. But his heart broke. His tears were he was just overwhelmed with emotion as he wrote back that his sending church, his first sending church, was a church that was no longer in existence. Failing to hold the rope, so to speak. There was a commitment that succeeds. And so as we look at number one from this text, the Great Commission, or a picture of missions, we see that these four individuals, these men, had a compassion on a soul. They had cooperation with other saints, and they had a commitment that succeeds. And so we see the Great Commission, or a picture of missions. And then we see number two, again, if you're taking notes, we see a great commendation. We see praise from the Master. And notice with me verse number five. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When Jesus saw their faith. You are being given an opportunity for the Lord to see your faith. In Faith Promise Missions Giving in the upcoming year. By the way, God sees our faith. In the epistles in the Gospels rather, Jesus often talked about those with little faith, those with no faith, those with great faith. And that communicates to me that no matter where we are in the area of faith, we can always increase our faith. God sees our faith. You say, well, I have a very private faith. I don't like to talk about it. No one really sees my faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith has substance. Faith has evidence. Without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please Him. And so our faith is seen. James 2 says, faith without works, faith without action is a dead faith. God sees our faith. And so we're given an opportunity, you're given an opportunity for the Lord to see your faith. What will the Lord see? Will He see your compassion on a lost and dying world? Will He see your cooperation as a church family as you strive together for the faith of the gospel? And will He see your commitment? Another year of Faith Promise Missions Giving as God increases your faith. These four inspire us tonight that our faith would increase. May this type of faith be found in each and every one of us. I heard a story one time. I'll read this to you and we'll wrap this up and conclude. But I read in a book about five young pioneer missionaries. Our text speaks of four, but in this story we find five. They were saved, discipled, went through a Bible institute, and these five God called to be missionaries in their own country of India. The Lord called them to begin a work 1,500 miles north of where their home village was. They had no money for train fare. They had no money for food or rent. And everyone discouraged them and begged them to stay home. But this was their answer. And I quote, "If we have no money to go by train, then we will walk. If one of us becomes sick and dies on the way, we have made an agreement. We will bury him on the roadside and the rest of us will continue on. If only one of us survives the journey and reaches our final destination and places only one gospel track on the hot desert sand of that state before we die, we will have fulfilled our mission. And we will have obeyed our Lord." Wow. Those five remind me of someone else that we find in the Bible. These four in Mark chapter 2 that would not be distracted. They would not be discouraged. They would not be defeated. They had a task before them. And they were going to accomplish that task of bringing that soul to Jesus Christ. May God help us. May God help you. And may God help me to have our faith increase like those five Indian missionaries, like these four in Mark chapter 2, as we all strive together to bring the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.